I was wondering today whether I should put a tie on or not, and I see I'm in good company. There are two others here. But I was going through the rack and found this one. And it's a tie with a story, because it's a tie that I got because it's the black sheep in it. And my eldest brother always called me the black sheep of the family, because I became a Christian when I was 14, which meant that I didn't go to prison, because all of the others have, my three brothers. And that's why he sort of said, well, you're the black sheep. You don't sort of fit in with the rest of us because you've not got the record. So I wore this at his funeral. I was conducting the funeral so I could get away with it. And I was able to say that as far as he was concerned, I was the black sheep because I was the odd one out. But as far as God was concerned, he left the 99 and came and found me. And it's kind of special in many ways, because it reminds me that though I never got to prison, and I hope I never do, unless it's for spiritual reasons, I had committed sin and needed forgiveness, needed cleansing. I was astray, but Jesus came and found me. And that was quite amazing, really, because a group of us went to a boys' brigade first meeting, because it was announced at school, and we thought they were all sissies anyway. So we went along to have a fight, but discovered that all the officers and my two elder brothers had just come back from military service, and realized that they were about the same age as my elder brothers, and so they'd been trained to kill, and I hadn't. So we didn't have the fight, but I stayed, and 6 months later, I came to know Jesus as my Savior. And it's been a fantastic journey. Lots and lots of things happening. Been many places, but God has always been faithful. And so I'd just like to share, this isn't really what I was intending to do as a message today, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Who likes trouble? Who likes problems? None of us. But where do you find God? How do you get to know the God of all comfort? Because you've got tribulation. Because things are going topsy-turvy. And you turn to him. And the lovely thing, it was 1954 when I became a Christian. It was quite amazing, really, that since that time, I've just been able to call on God in so many different situations and find that he's been there, the God of all comfort. right now, as a family, we're facing some issues that are difficult in an interesting way, uncertain in many ways. Pam has just been diagnosed as having Alzheimer's, and all that goes with that. But you know, one of the things that's happened in that diagnosis is the fact that some of the things that have been happening are now understandable. Before, it was sort of, why on earth are you doing that? Why change things now? But now I can see what was happening. And in one sense, the diagnosis has become a comfort, because it's helped me to understand. It hasn't made life any easier in many ways, because there's that uncertainty. I know we sang, I know I can face tomorrow because he lives. And who is he? He's the God of all comfort. He's the one who's there when we need him. That's one of the things about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The comforter, the paraclete, the one who's called alongside in time of need. But you only look for comfort when you're in need. And so often we're just so busy getting on with life, dashing to the shops, doing this, doing that. I've got these plans. And sometimes we've got the plans, but we've left God out. And God comes, when our plans go upside down, and when we're faced with difficulties and issues, then we find God to be the God of all comfort. The other thing that's happened to us recently is that Lloyd, our eldest son, is a diabetic, and through an infection he's had to have his left big toe amputated, which has created a whole lot of things. And in this lovely hot weather, he's been sort of stuck in his house most of the time, or should have been, because the district nurses come in to change the dressing, and they say to him, if you're found outside, we won't come anymore. Now they've eased up on that. But he's become depressed, or his depression has exploded, as it were. And there are difficulties there. He ended up in hospital yesterday. And who do I turn to? The God of all comfort. Are you confident that the God of the all comfort is there for you? I didn't say he isn't there for you. I said, are you confident that he's there for you? There's a difference. You see, when we're confident that he's there, we'll turn to him. When we're looking and we think, I've got to work this out, I've got to sort it out. I've got to do it. We take all the burden on ourselves. We carry everything. But when we turn to the God of all comfort, He comforts us. He comes alongside. He meets us in that need. And He comes and brings that which we so need at that point of time. You know, one of the things I found in church ministry is that lots and lots of people have answers to all sorts of different problems. But only God has the right answer. There's a difference. You see, I can have answers for other people, but I don't know all the circumstances. God does. And God has a purpose. One of the things that happened for us just in April this year was that we went away to a lovely farmhouse in Wales, and we booked for 2 weeks. But after 3 days, Pam said she had to come home. And then on the fourth day, she said she definitely had to come home. So we came home. And I love going to that farmhouse. I love the hills. I love the walking. I love being around the animals. I was disappointed. But what I see now is that that experience was part of the panic that sometimes comes with an issue like Alzheimer's. And I can look back, and it's not that disappointment that it used to be. Because the God of all comfort has come alongside and said, Bill, it's okay. And I can face tomorrow if He's with me. But you see, His comfort isn't just for me. His comfort that you've received, that you've experienced, is not just for you. It's so that you are equipped to bring comfort to others when they're in trouble. That's what it says here. Who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's why Jesus came to earth, wasn't it? Because God looked down and saw mankind in tribulation. Saw mankind in trouble. And He sent Jesus to comfort us. He sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. He sent Jesus to set us free. So we can share that good news with others. You know, actually telling people that they're going to hell isn't really good news. The good news is that God loves them. And that Jesus died for them. And Jesus will receive them if they come to Him. Because that's how you came, isn't it? I've met very, very few people who actually came to Christ because they were afraid of hell. It didn't really focus, but they needed to be loved. So you just think, everything that God has done for you, He's done so you can give it away. Not to hold on to it. This is my private comfort. No, the most intimate things that God has done for you, He's done it so that you can give it away. Now that's a challenge. Because, you see, when we come into that place of sharing our lives with others, we become vulnerable. Right? And we don't like being vulnerable. But Jesus became vulnerable when He came to earth. Do you realize how vulnerable He was in that passage that we read of in John 4? When He said to the woman at the well, "Will you give me a drink of water?" He was actually declaring that He didn't have the means to get a drink for Himself. "I need your help." And He made Himself vulnerable. The God of all comfort. Do you really know that God loves you? That you're precious to Him. I'm the black sheep in my family because Jesus left the 99 and came and found me. And I can say to others, Jesus loves you. And He wants your company. He wants to bless you. When I gave up my apprenticeship and was going off to Bible school, my dad said to me, "William," that's the official name, "William, if you go into the church," because he was a good Roman Catholic at one time, "but if you go into the church, you'll never travel." Somebody said to me, "Bill, how many countries have you visited?" And I said, I checked up, I went through the list, and it turned out to be just 34. I've met some people who have been to a lot more than that. But 34 different countries for somebody who will never travel. But, you see, it was because I trusted the God of all comfort. And He comforted me. And He still does. Because He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always." One of the most remarkable stories in the New Testament to me is Paul and Silas in prison in Philippi. Because they'd been beaten. They'd been whipped. They'd been put in stocks. Sitting on a stone or a wooden bench. And at midnight, they sang praises to God. And I'm convinced that they started singing praises to God because on that wooden bench, in those stocks, with all the aches and pains, all the bruising, and, you know, their wounds were still weeping when the jailer took them to his house and bathed them. But they'd met the God of all comfort in that cell. And they introduced the jailer and his family, his household, to the God of all comfort. So, elsewhere in the New Testament, we're told, don't count it strange when you've got problems, when you're entering into difficulties. Don't count it unusual, but use the occasion to meet God. And let God bless you. Recognize what he's saying to you. And then when he brings you into contact with somebody who's in trouble, don't hold back, but share what God said to you in your trouble. Not from a lofty position, a superior position, but from the position of somebody who's got the t-shirt. Doesn't have to be a full dress uniform. The t-shirt's good enough. And you can introduce them to the God of all comfort. That's what we need today in our world. People who share his life by sharing their life with others. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Amen.